Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and our topic is going to be really interesting here. We are going to be talking about sliding in the business shark tank, and I'm doing a play on the word sliding because I am delighted to share that our leading lady today is Angela Watts. And she is the chief ride officer of Slide Handboards. And they, her and her husband, have an incredible story of being on the Shark Tank, how they got on the Shark Tank. And I got to say, because I looked at their website and looked at their product, they've got a bitchin' product as well. So, Angela, say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone. And thanks for having me, Michelle. Great intro. I like it.
Well, think we're in Southern California. We can be edgy and different, right? That's how we roll over here in Southern California.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad part is it's not so sunny today. That's pretty sad, but I guess we're in November. This is our winter season. We're getting into it.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, actually rain last night. I'm like, brought shorts to change into after the gym today. And I, like, walked outside. I was like, no, I should have wore pants.
Well, I love it. And I'm really excited about your story, you and your husband, and you are both in the business of slide boards. Can you kind of share, because I know, you know, for those of us not in Southern California or not familiar with your product, what is a slide board? It's so different.
Yeah, so if anyone can kind of imagine when you've ever body surfed, if you've ever been to the ocean from when you were a kid or even when you're older, kind of just jumping into the waves and letting the waves take you and kind of riding the wave with your body. And so with the slide handboard, it's basically like a miniature surfboard that goes on your hand. And so when you're body surfing, the board gives you that extra planing surface so you can actually ride the wave and get that surfing experience with the board on your hand. So your body's fully immersed and the board just takes you. It's so much fun.
Wow, and I think it's so cool because now I got to ask this one. How did the idea, all right, of the slide board come around? I mean, you've got a great story about your husband is a designer, but can you share a little of what the, you know, kind of like how the board came about and the design and the product?
Yeah, so, well, body surfing has been around forever before stand-up surfing, and body surfing with hand boards or something similar, like, you know, pieces of wood or, you know, kids in Hawaii used to use food trays or even here in California. And even my husband, who grew up in South Africa, he was doing the same thing. And when he was a kid, he used to make, like, improvised handboards from, you know, his broken surfboards. And then when he went surf traveling around the world after he turned 18, he found other surfers wherever he went that had the same story of him using, you know, different things to help them ride body surf waves. So it's been around forever. But what he found out, there's no brand that actually was centered around the sport. So there's always like bodyboards and surfboards and brands around them, but nothing around this. So he knew then that it was something he wanted to do from since he was a kid.
So cool. And then tell me the story of how the two of you kind of developed into this product and into a business. I know, you know, you've been on the Shark Tank, which I want to talk about in a little bit, but how did the whole, what is it like developing a product and then obviously bringing a product to market is just, it's expensive, it's time consuming, it sucks the life out of you, and it's exciting all at the same time. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. Well, short story. So when I met Steve, he started Slide back in 2010 here in Southern California. And then I met him about a year and a half, 2 years later. And, you know, he told me about what he was doing. He was doing everything on his own. And then I came in, I just said, hey, I know I can help you with this. And I started taking over the financials and the business side of things to do what I was good at and leave him to do what he's good at, which is designing and being a surfer mm-hmm. and being the face of the brand. And, you know, finding out, you know, his gross margins were awful. I think it was like a 30% gross margin.
Oh, Lord.
You know, now we're at, you know, the 70%. So, you know, those little things and tweaking those things and finding new manufacturing and just making sure the financial end makes sense because he was losing money. Plus, he was doing everything by himself. So that's kind of where I stepped in to help out in the beginning, which, again, then, you know, made us, you know, a lot more successful to have, you know, someone, another person come on to help him. And then from there, we, you know, to really build a sport, you know, we're marketing to people that have never heard of it. It's not like a T-shirt or a sock. You know, you see a sock scrolling through your Facebook, like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to buy it, where people see our products and they don't know what it is. So we still have a lot of education, so we knew we had to raise money. And that's where Shark Tank came in, yeah.
I love it. I mean, was Shark Tank the only place, or maybe you can share, did you try to raise money in other ways for financing or funding or investor funding? What was kind of your process at the beginning to start with finding investors? That's a piece of that's a process, isn't it?
Yeah. Took us years. I mean, it like literally years. I mean, Steve had a very good friend that he met when he was surfing. He was teaching surf lessons before he started Slide in Venice Beach. And so his good friend initially invested in Slide, and this is before I came on. So this is how he was able to work full-time on Slide. And then when I came on, we needed more money. So we went to banks, and I put through a whole pitch deck and everything. We pitched to the Tech Coast Angels and a few other different angel groups and got told no a lot of times. I can't even tell you how many times we got told no. I mean, I had friends telling me, you should just get like a 9-to-5 job, or, you know, people that, you know, were like, you guys are crazy. We had our credit cards maxed out. We had all of our money that, you know, my mom had money for me to get married put aside. And when I needed that money, I took it and put it into the business. We had borrowed money from Steve's brother and dad. Like, I mean, over $50,000 of just personal debt that we had. And then, well, my brother was actually on an airplane, and he was working on – he's a video director, producer. He does a lot of stuff. So he's just helping us with a video, and the guy sitting next to him saw and was like, wow, what is that? Are they looking for investment? I want to invest. And I'm like, my brother's like, actually, yeah, they are. And this is like after 2 years of us, like, you know, I had been crying to my husband saying, like, well, at the time he was just my fiance, and I was like, I need to get a job. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh. You know, we didn't know, like, literally crying to him. Probably a week before this happened.
Oh my gosh.
And my brother told me to call this guy. So I was like, it's just going to be another dud. But I called him. And he was like, send me over your pitch deck and your financials. And I had everything ready. I sent it to him that day. And that was it. He's like, okay, I'll invest $75,000. That's it. Like, I'm in. And I'll invest more down the line if you need it. So it was like, Wow.
So this was a referral. And Angela, this was a referral. Was it a friend? Was it somebody who's in, you know, the kind of investment arena? Or, what, I mean, who was the person, not without saying their name, but what was the relationship that this, okay.
He was just retired. He was VP of sales at Kraft Nabisco. Like he was just retired and has a few investments in companies. He's not like a huge investor, but he's invested in probably a handful of businesses. It was just he believed in our product, and that's kind of, exactly the type of person we were looking for, is just someone that like got it right away. And when we went on Shark Tank, we could tell as soon as Mark and Ashton saw the video when we showed it, you could see that they got it. And it was actually the same video that my brother was working on the airplane. So he did a good editing that video for us. That's definite.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple questions because I know for our listeners, we have a lot of women who are business owners. And I don't want to get into the whole challenge with women owners and finding angel funds, right? That's a challenge itself, which is great you and your husband went down that road. But what would be maybe some advice that you experienced that you could give with our listeners who are women owners of either, sounds like don't give up, what would be some other advice you might give as you go out and you just keep getting no or no or no all the time?
Just always be ready to pitch and to show, your business plan, your financials. I had everything ready to send. As soon, I wasn't expecting him to invest it. Like, this came out of left field after all these no's, after crying to my husband. I still was updating everything once a month for the financials and our projections.
Wow.
Everything was updated, so I didn't have to do, I caught him when it was hot. So, he was into it, and I just said, I didn't let any time breathe with it. Because if you make someone wait, if they're interested and then you don't have everything prepared and ready, they're going to lose interest.
Did you
don't
find...
give up.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, this is great information, and I want to talk on our last kind of part of the time here about Shark. But, when you were going through this, one of the things I've kind of gone through the process of looking for investor funding. It's like, and it's a tough process. They're very direct, and, if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they tell you. I'm curious with you, when you did some of these pitches, did a lot of people ask you to tweak and change your numbers or your business model, and so you had to go back to the drawing board and revisit things, or was it just a flat no most of the time from the people you pitched to? Can you talk about that as a process a little?
Yeah, we got a lot of flat no's. We got this one guy, at the big angel groups, like we pitched one time to, it was over 100 investors in one big auditorium. And we got person that we had a few follow-up meetings with, and he was interested, but he just, after meeting with him and using board, but I don't know if he just didn't believe in us to bring it to where it is or what it was, but he was just, he basically had said to us, I'm not going to invest, but I would loan you the money. And that's not what we were looking for, with an interest rate and everything. So no one really said to change our business model or anything. But I think people saw that it would take a lot of money to really educate people, because that's what we're doing right now, is mostly what we do is educate.
I love it. And, for you, it's like, what was your background, before you got into being an entrepreneur? Did you come from a finance background, or can you share a little bit about your corporate experience?
No background in business or finance. I actually double majored in physical education and health education in college. But when I was there, I worked the entire time, almost, full time, 40 hours a week. And it was there that I found my love for business, because my boss there for the recreation programs had put me in charge of managing and growing the program. So I became he really let me be hands-on in building the business there. So that's where I kind of felt like, okay, I know I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be more in business, and I enjoyed seeing something grow. So that was, you know, kind of an eye-opener for me. And then from there, and that's why I went on when I came to California. I worked for the two startups here, and one is doing very successful. They make over $10 million a year now, and they've only been in business for 7 years now, and so they're still growing a lot. And the other one had raised over $2 million in funding, and they went out of business in a couple of years. So I learned kind of what to do, what not to do, and so that was just a great learning experience for me. It's to work
for other startups.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, there's still 20,000 questions I have, which I love your, you know, just your story, and your product looks amazing. I watched the video on the website, and, you know, I'm not a surfer, but a lot of my friends are, and, you know, my nephews and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, what was it that made you decide to apply for Shark Tank? I mean, what was that process like, and how did you finally say, hey, we're going to go try to do this? Or was that the story of how you got on Shark Tank?
No, I mean, we actually applied 3 times before we got on. So the first year we were like, you know, it was when I first started working with Steve. So it was just, you know, we tried to get on. It was one of our customers. I was like, oh, you guys need to go on Shark Tank. I hadn't even seen the show then. I think this is back in 2013 or so.
It's an awesome show, by the way. You know that, right?
Yeah, now I do. Yeah, I didn't have cable then. I was working for startups. I barely had any money. So,
Lord.
So then the second year we tried again, and the next year we actually really needed the money, and we really wanted to be on. But I'm really happy we didn't get on the show our second year, first or second year, because we didn't have our manufacturing. You know, when I said that, you know, our manufacturing and our gross margins were horrible, it really was. And our manufacturing was not good. We had a lot of defects. So we just wouldn't have been ready. Then the third year that we applied, we really focused more on, you know, Stephen Mind's story of who we are and how we work together, and then, you know, talked about slide 2, and we finally got on, and this is when we really too did need it. So, I mean, Shark Tank has, you know, been a huge blessing, and we're so lucky to be on it that, you know.
Well, I'm sure got all kinds of stories working with Mark Cuban and Ashton Kutcher. I'm curious to know, what is it like to prepare to go on a Shark Tank? You know, to prepare for it, do they take you through, you know, quite the process, or is it like you have to rehearse and all that, right? What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, they really focus more on rehearsing, you know, your initial pitch, you know, that, like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes where they come out and, you know, they put on a little show for the investors and do their little pitch. They focus on that. Anything after that is on you. So, you know, you don't have to practice anything. They don't, like, go through questions with you. That's like, you know, they leave that up to you. If you don't know your numbers or you don't know your business, you're gonna get torn apart. And the producers don't help you, you know, with prepping you on what the sharks might ask you. They only prep you on your initial, like, pitch. And I think they only prep you on that is just so for the audience and the TV viewers can understand what your product is. They just want to make sure it comes off, you know, that everyone knows what you are and what your brand is. So personally, I watched almost every single episode of Shark Tank there was. I wrote down every single question, and I wrote down answers of what I would say for every question, and I had flashcards, and then I split up, you know, Steve, okay, you're going to answer this, and I'm going to answer these. So he answered anything about the brand and the product, and I answered anything that had to do with the business and financials. So we never stuttered. I made sure never to say the words like or or about. Like, I knew our numbers inside and out. So it worked out, obviously.
It obviously did. I'm dying, you know, I know you shared with me, I guess, earlier when we first started talking, you said that you knew instantly as you were giving your pitch that Ashton and Mark were the ones that, as the sharks, that they were, they kind of got your pitch. So kind of talk about that when you were, you know, in the Shark Tank and those tough questions, you know, and the deals. What was that process like?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's so scary when you're going to, you know, walk in and do this because you don't know how they're going to react. So before going on, I was scared out of my mind. So was my husband. We were like, okay, well, let's just try it. We weren't expecting them to invest. We were just saying, okay, let's just go not make a fool of ourselves on national TV. And if they invest, great. So that's kind of how we took it. So we went out and, you know, I could see that they got it. And so there was a little relief to that. They did try to, like, trip you up on your numbers and did try to get to be, you know, asking you, like, spitfiring questions at us. And mostly to me, I don't know why, like, they kept calling out my name and just spitfiring at me, which can, you know, it gets a little overwhelming. But, like I said,
I'm sure.
I practiced everything, and I had an answer for everything that I practiced. So I didn't trip up, and I think it was just being very overly prepared, which we didn't prepare much. Like, we didn't practice our pitch as much as we practice the questions that they might ask us. And I think a lot of people that go on the show focus so much on their initial pitch and scared about, like, the rehearsing, like, what they're going to say with that, they don't practice the questions as much, which the follow-up questions are going to be the more important than your
I think
pitch.
That's, you're right. What I love that you did and you shared, oh my gosh, Angela, is that you went through and looked at every single episode and looked at every question, because, I mean, I've watched it for years and I haven't lately, but I just kind of crack up because that is where they get you. You know, you say one wrong thing, you know, on an answer, and it's like that'll take them down a whole different path, you know,
yeah.
And then you're like, got no offers. What was it, I mean, and again, I know people can go watch the show, but what was it like, you know, for you when did Mark and Ashton kind of combine together to invest in you, or did Mark start, or what was that like to, in your head, what was going on as you're thinking, oh my God, this might actually happen, you know, when they're starting to, did they fight over you, or what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big fight, and for anyone that goes on the show, and for all episodes, everyone you have to know everything is heavily edited, because, you know, we were there in front of them for an hour, and we're on air for like 10 minutes, so everything's really edited. But we did have them fighting over us, which was amazing, and we had better offers from Robert and Mr. Wonderful. But when Mark and Ashton went in together, I mean, they were our obvious number one choices for us. So we let them fight. We had to do some counter offers. And then we finally agreed after Steve and I. Like, I forgot I was mic'd. Like, we walked in the back and had a talk, and I forgot I was mic'd. I was so excited that, like, Ashton Kutcher wanted to invest in us. I swore to Steve, like, in the back, and I'm like, holy effing, like, and then we heard the producers in the back, like, laughing, because I forgot they could hear us, so
right.
And I'm like, I forgot they were still filming us. That's how, like, excited I was, but trying to still negotiate, I was trying not to, you know, show them how excited I was.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But did you and Steve talk ahead of time to say, these are our parameters. If we get a deal, it's like we'll go with this but not that? Or was it just, hey, we're going to go and feel the force and see what happens? I mean, how was the conversation ahead of time on what you would and wouldn't do? Or did you have any?
Yeah, we both knew, I mean, our top choices were Mark and Ashton, but, I mean, they had come in wanting 10% more than what Robert and Mr. Wonderful were offering us, so 10% more of our business, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, we weren't sure at that point, so, you know, that's why we had to go back and talk about it. We still ended up giving 7% more of our business than if we had gone with Mr. Wonderful or Robert, but that 7% for us is totally worth it to have both of them on your back, because Mark Cuban has a whole team of people that he just gives to you that helps you with things. That's well worth more than any money he put into our business. and just his expertise.
Yeah, well, that's the piece I've heard of, is that once you get a shark, or sharks in your case, where you have plural ones, right, that are part of your now team, it's like I've heard the experience is extremely positive. I mean, can you share a little bit about what that has been like post, right, Shark Tank show?
Yeah.
What has the support, and what was that like when they, you know, do you talk with them? Do they come to your facility? It's like how often, or what has that been like as far as that relationship with both of them?
Yeah, so every Monday, I put together an email that goes to both Mark and Ashton that just gives them an update on everything that we're doing. So we talk to them once a week, and I give them all the good and the bad. I give them an update on the sales. So that alone, just giving that update, really keeps me on track financially to make sure that we're hitting our targets and our numbers to keep us going and for them to see our growth. So I compare like what we did last year to what we're doing this year. And I love having that accountability with them. But they also give you just, I mean, a whole, like I said before, Mark has a team of people that help you. So he has financial people, he has attorneys, he has anything that you need help with, he has people to help you with. And then Ashton has a lot of expertise in social media, so he's logged into our Facebook account, was like, you know, and gone through there for us. And obviously whenever we want help with a tweet or getting something out to their followers, they're happy to share too, which I try not to ask them more than maybe, you know, unless it's something really big, ask them to do that for us. But, I mean, they're
love
both
it.
Really good people and really nice. Ashton is total businessman.
Very cool. Well, you know, and this would be something for our listeners too, Angela. It's like what, you know, I mean, obviously you and your husband were building your business, right, before the Shark Tank and doing things probably slower than you wanted and, you know, with never enough money or time. But what, you know, what for you has been just maybe a couple of really big learning lessons or things that you didn't know before as you've interacted with Cuban and Ashton and just kind of said, gosh, you know, wish we would have known this before. I mean, anything like that that have been huge ahas for you in business that maybe you didn't have before and working with them post Shark Tank pitch?
Not necessarily working with them. I know, well, Mark always tells us to like just focus on the boards. You know, a lot of times I try to, you know, we're like, oh, we should do shirts and a clothing line and expand this way. And he always like brings us back and is like, just focus on the hand boards and getting that to, you know, a big business before we start expanding. And I, you know, he's totally agree with him. Like we need to focus on just growing the sport of hand boarding. But that's, the other thing, though, that I've learned is to do things, you know, for yourself and not to pay other people to do it for you when it comes to things like, especially if you don't have the money. I mean, for like PR, for example, we spent a lot of money trying different PR firms, and none of them ever did as good as just us. And because we're the ones that are more passionate and, you know, are going to spend all day and night trying to get those stories. And that's one thing we're really good at now ourselves is just getting our own press. We wasted a lot of money on that, and it's something that I wish we never did. And same thing with Facebook marketing. We're doing better now doing it ourselves than when we tried hiring outsourcing a team to do it for us. We just learned, like my husband just learned it himself, and now he's doing better than if we were paying someone else to do it. So a lot of stuff we're still skimping on and just staying up late to do it ourselves.
And for you guys, what is your goal for the future, Angela? It's like, what are you guys hoping to build? I mean, are you looking to build it and sell it? Is it that you want to scale and come out with new product lines? Or what's the vision for slide boards for the future?
We want we want to see as many slide hand boards out on the beach as there are boogie boards and body boards and, you know, if not actually more. Hand boards are more accessible. They're easier to use. You don't have to carry, you know, a bunch of things to the beach. You can have five in, you know, in a backpack, and you can have it for your whole family. So we want to see. We won't stop until it's that big. That's where we see the whole brand going, until everyone on each coast has hand boards in the ocean and everyone knows what it is. It's still so small and still not in its infancy of where it's going to be. If we ever do sell, it wouldn't be for a really long time. I don't see maybe 10 years. And I think, I don't know if Steve will ever be able to sell his baby, but, and I don't know if I, first baby, but, you know, it's something we've talked about, but I mean, we're just concentrating on building it, and we'll see what comes. I mean, everyone has a number, I think, maybe.
And you know that. You know that from what you've been through. My gosh, that's an incredible story. I mean, any final thoughts? I know I want to tell our listeners, if they're interested, to buy your product or look more into it. You have a fabulous video on your website about, you know, how the product is used. What do you want to share, your address or how you want to be reached, or, of course, if you want to buy the product?
Yeah, just go on to Slide Handboards, S-L-Y-D-E, handboards.com. Check it out. Good for all ages and skill levels. I'm not a surfer, and I use this. I used it up until I was 9 months pregnant. I have all my friends and kids as young as 6 years old that use it, up to, we have guys that are 80 that use it. So it's very, very much for everyone. And we'll be having some sales for next week. So go ahead and sign up for that too.
Gosh,
holidays.
I love it. It's like, you know, instead of Cyber Friday, it'll be Slide Friday. Let's come up with a new term. It's Slide Friday. What do you think? I love it. Anyway, you've been a delight as a leading lady. I mean, thank you so much, Angela, for sharing your story. And I always say thank you to our listeners for being loyal, because we're going to be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. And I know we'll be doing a show on Monday. So for us, as I always like to say, please, as professional women, you know, take a moment, support one another, be an advocate, and have a great weekend and happy Thanksgiving.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.